Kate's like gesturing me as if I came in late there. That was like perfectly on time.
I don't know about that.
Marriage.
Hello and welcome. Well, now I'm coming in late. Hello and welcome to episode number 180 of the Book Wars Pod. I'm Chris. I'm here with Devin, Rana, and Kate.
Wow.
And we're here talking about The Fallen Star by Claudia Gray. Just a fun little romp through the Star Wars world.
Oh my,
where nobody ever dies.
Fucking
never.
God.
No one's ever really gone.
This is the next.
Unless they're turned to dust.
We'll talk about Crispy Motherfucker in a minute. Like, because I hate that shit. But also, I think this is the next to last book in phase one of the High Republic. So, you know that shit is about to hit the fan horrifically. It has already begun shitting the shit. Hitting the fan horrifically.
It's begin shitting the fan shitting real the fan. Bad.
Yeah, basically.
I'm so tired. I'm so tired, guys.
Directly shitting the fan.
Also, Devin, you took a sip of your wine while the music was going, and I couldn't say anything, but I was like, holy shit, that's a full wine glass, though.
I went to go see Mission Impossible, and then I had some thoughts, and then those thoughts turned into frustration, and then I was like, I'll do some wine.
Yeah, fair enough. So, yeah. Fair enough.
Respect.
Fair enough.
Very relatable.
Well, let's dive in there. Devin, what kind of wine are you drinking?
I usually don't check.
You know what? That's fair.
I will not abide by this. This is
big,
wild.
This is a white vibe.
Yeah. This is unhinged. Yeah.
It's Pinot Grigio, okay. Quail Oak. It was $3.99 from Safeway. Shout out Safeway.
Fuck
Respect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rana's the only wine snob among us. So
I'm not a wine
like,
snob. I'm not
good.
A wine snob.
And Rana's like, you
but a $3.99 bottle is usually pure sugar. Like,
oh, yeah, no.
I'm.
This is not about taste. This. Yeah.
Okay, fair. Fair. Seems like a less efficient way to get drunk, but I understand.
I can't. I am very good at getting drunk, which is why I had to stop.
I know. No, I'm aware.
Rana's just out here trying to min-max wine. It's fine.
If like if you're gonna have wine, why not? Oh, Jesus Christ, I become my own fucking mother. But like, if you're gonna have wine, don't you want to enjoy it? This is why I'm right here. Like,
so
can I just say, oh, sorry, go ahead.
I do like enjoying the things that I consume, but sometimes my bank account is like, you can't. Like, you gotta get what you gotta get. And right now we're in the you gotta get what you gotta get.
I feel
you know?
That. Yeah,
that's so real.
Yeah.
I will just say, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, you go.
In terms of turning into my mother with alcohol, like what I was about to say made me realize that like maybe this is why I drink too much wine now, because I would be like 5 years old. My mom would like pour me a little bit of wine. She'd be like, well, you have to learn how it is. You have to learn what it is. Like, oh, well, why don't you look for this thing? And anyway, and then this is how now when my cousins who are in their teens are at my aunt's house or whatever, I'm like, oh, like this just happened with a cousin. She's 21. I just assumed she'd have wine. She was like, oh, well, I don't really like drink that much wine. And I was like, oh, that's fine. And then she said, well, I tried it for the first time when I turned 21. And I was like, what? You haven't been having a small glass of wine since you were 4 or 5 years old? Every time there's a family dinner, I am confused.
I was going to say, not your Italian ass family.
Listen, I really thought everyone did that.
That's amazing. I love
so now this is why I am a judgmental. Well, I was going to say a word that I probably shouldn't say. Very common in Australia, you know. But don't know if our listeners will stop. But I've been using it a lot lately. But anyway,
you are more than welcome to use it as much
true.
As
I
you
can
want.
Use it.
I won't. You can.
That's smart. Anyway, just to say, this is why I'm now a judgmental person. Fill in the blank.
I like it.
Oh, yeah. I was gonna say that I like have the opposite problem as Devin sometimes, because like I really like just enjoy the taste of whiskey, but I also like don't love being drunk. Like if it's just me and Kate or just by myself, unless we're like doing something, like I don't like love just being drunk at home on a Tuesday night.
Seems healthy.
I mean, well, I'm like, all right, whatever.
Oh, listen, I'll take a gummy like at the drop of a hat. It's just something.
Hell yeah.
I'm just old enough where being drunk has more consequences. Yeah. And then I like can't sleep as well. It's a whole fucking thing.
Then you get tequila knee and then I get fucking
tequila back. It's a bad issue. Wow. Affects over one really Americans old age. Every year.
Yes. I was gonna say, does anyone else drink tequila and then get like weird joint pain, or is it just me and Chris?
I am not the biggest tequila guy.
Okay.
I'm trying to think if I've had that experience with gin, but also I don't think so.
For me,
I've never gotten.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. No, no, no.
No, no. For me, it's specifically tequila. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it is only ever tequila for me. But anyway, regardless. So I love whiskey, but then I never drink it as much as I want because I'm like, well, do I really want that much whiskey right now? Orca. So that is all to say, I'm fighting off a migraine and I'm drinking water.
Hell yeah.
Am I going? Oh, Jesus. All right. I am killing a bottle of, this is Spirit Hound barrel finished gin. They are Colorado distillery, a little bit north of us in Lyons. So yeah, it's basically gin with vague notes of whiskey in it, which is pretty good. I'm not a big whiskey drinker, but this is pretty tasty. Also, so I needed. Lovely. Also, I just like just having this just like straight up neat right now because like I need hard alcohol to talk about Elzar. I think Elzar needs hard alcohol to talk about Elzar. So like,
I think Elzar would agree like, with that statement.
Elzar is like the least problem in this book so far. Elzar has done nothing yet in this book.
But he's gonna.
He's at his wellness retreat. Problem? He just checked out of the White Lotus. Like,
oh
he's
my
fine.
God! Yeah, because nothing bad happens there either. Like,
that's why
Jesus.
He checked out.
I know
he's
we're gonna get
anymore.
To this later. Well, never mind. I'm just gonna put it in the outline. There's an Elzar quote in here that I wish I could have. I should have highlighted in my e-read notes to be like, "Bitch, what did I just read?"
Is it when he's admiring Geode as a like cultural obelisk? Because that's
pretty
fucking fantastic.
No, but that's great too.
Lana, what are you drinking?
So despite being a snob earlier, it was more just like, in my mind, like a vacuum seal solves the problem of like, because you can get like a $7.99 bottle and then you can have it over a couple days. But I'm not judging. I'm judging a little bit just in the sense of like not even looking at what you're drinking.
I would
also,
like to clarify that there is no a couple of days for me. Like that's not how this works in my household, which again is why I have to not do this very often.
No, I understand. And again, I support it.
You are welcome to be a snob. I'm more than happy to like, I'll take the L on this.
Given my own financial situation, I really should not be a snob. but that's all to say, this is not a particularly fancy thing that I'm drinking. So when I moved into this apartment, I like got beers because I wanted to carry on the tradition of like, okay, you moved everything in or you painted or whatever, have a beer. But now I'm still going through the 4-pack that I got. Not that I don't drink. I certainly have had wine and other things. I'm just not a huge beer person. I mean, I'll have beer like once a week, but I don't need it.
It's like you never lived in Colorado.
I know. This is why they kicked me out. I don't snowboard and I don't like, I enjoy beer, but it's not my life. So, anyway, this is from Vanished Valley Brewing Company, and it's called Fruits of Labor Pomegranate Sour Ale.
Ooh.
It's delicious.
Oh, sounds great.
5% alcohol, and there are no descriptions of it on here other than the fact that it's a pomegranate sour ale.
I mean, if it's pomegranate, I feel like that's all they got to say, really.
It's delicious. And, like, I love a sour ale, but I especially like when a sour ale isn't just, like, pure citric acid.
Mm-hmm.
So it's delicious, and it's from Ludlow, Massachusetts. So kind of far away, but not as far as Colorado. So that's what I got. Oh, and I also have this weird... Maybe it'll give me lead poisoning. It's fine.
What?
It's not paint. But this, it's just water in here. Not the water bottle. It's not the problem. But I have collagen powder that when I got my, like, Korean skincare order, they had, like, it was on sale. And I was like, I already have fish collagen. Why not get this peach-flavored one? But of course, here in the U.S., a lot of our collagen powder has lead problems, so I don't know that it's all that different, but I'm having it anyway for an extra 24 grams of protein, so
that's my
other beverage.
I trust Korean collagen more than I trust our collagen, so...
Yeah, I agree. I actually completely agree, but I also was, like, going, like, holding the box up on Google Translate, being like, I don't know what I'm drinking, but this is great.
Whatever. Oh, gosh. I love an adventure. I love that.
Won't kill me. Not compared to how often I used to microwave food in styrofoam as a kid. Whatever.
Yeah.
Right. Cup we're all noodles. Here for a good time, not a long time.
Oh man.
Although
I'm already half plastic.
If we're being honest with ourselves, we're all here for a mid time at best.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Wow.
On that note, our cause for this book is Stop Ice Raids Alert Network at stopice.net. The purpose of Stop Ice Raids Alert System is to provide emergency alerts and support for those targeted by ice raids. You can text report to 877-322-2299 or go to stopice.net to report ice activity in your area and try to help protect folks who are going to be targeted by them.
Because it sucks out here.
Yes, it Yay. Does.
I ate at a taco place a couple days ago that like straight up had a like report ice activity poster up, and I'm like, y'all are playing with fire, but I love it.
Yeah.
Some but of the know fun. Your rights materials that have come out too, phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, for sure. All right. So speaking of living in a hellscape, welcome to Star Wars The High Republic. When and where are we? And what about what's going on in the comics? Did you put that in here?
Yeah.
Okay.
So as a reminder,
Devin ran on it. So
it's been a while since we have been like firmly in the High Republic outside of, I mean, last week was fairly isolated, or it was like, yeah, fairly isolated story wise.
Vern's very bad. A horrible adventure number like 57.
Yep. But last time we were like deep into the High Republic, the Drengar had been largely defeated. They had captured the Great Progenitor, and they had defeated the Nile at their kind of home base, but Loden got turned into dust, and nobody really seemed to figure that out. And there was a lot that happened between then and now in the comics when all this was coming out, but there's not really a good stopping point to read it without like getting to kind of like the crux of this book, which I think the book is the best way to experience it first.
Okay.
So just to like catch y'all up halfway, Avar and Keev and Skeer are on a quest to try and capture Lorna D, who they mistakenly think is the Eye of the Nile. We'll get to the Jedi continuing to make mistakes about the Nile all the time. I want to say Vern is with them. Don't quote me on that.
Well, Vern did say she was going to go with them.
That's right.
At the end of the last book. So, yes.
Yes.
So I assume Imri's there also.
Yeah, Vern and Imri are there too. So they're doing that. And it's been like a decent while. So obviously, Avar is away from Starlight Beacon, which leads to a certain piece of shit becoming the warden of Starlight Beacon. Marshall. I'll keep warden. That's fine. I don't regret it.
More accurate, Sheriff. Frankly. Stupid, dumbass. God.
Self-appointed dictator. I hate that man.
He also
hates that guy.
He also really hasn't done anything terrible yet either. If we're saying that Elzar hasn't done anything terrible
yet.
Did you
read his opening chapter?
Yeah.
The way he talks about himself is insane.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit.
He's done it before and he'll do it again, goddammit. But you know what? I missed
the last few books. So like I knew he was shitty, but I didn't know how shitty. And then I was like, god damn.
He's the worst. Welcome to the club, Rana. We have t-shirts. It's great.
We don't have t-shirts.
Stellan
if we ever are at a con again, we need to all have I hate Stellan Geos or all the homies hate Stellan Geos shirts.
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah. I will absolutely do that.
Is this a person who I would recognize from like a movie or a TV show?
No, he's exclusive to this era.
Gotcha. Probably I'm assuming the best. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that Tina Fey is evil, but when you said, is this a person? I thought of the Carrie Fisher episode of 30 Rock where someone is like, is that a person who lived about someone? And I really thought you were about to ask us that. I was like, all right.
Again, to clarify, this is not Stellan Skarsgård.
Yes, exactly. Chris's ongoing feud with all Swedish actors.
Yes, exactly.
Goddamn Scandinavians.
Anyway, this is cracking me up because like if you're arguing that Elzar hasn't even done anything that bad yet in this book, then comparatively speaking, Stellan also hasn't done anything that bad yet in this book. And yet
I
but he's just unbearable.
I just don't agree with that.
I think Elzar is unbearable.
We'll talk about it.
Oh my god.
But yeah, so that's kind of what's going on in the comics. We're still roughly a year after the Great Disaster. Obviously, it's been a very eventful year for the Republic, and they don't have a great sense of what's going on, as we can see.
Yeah.
So that's cool. So yeah. Is that your comic summary? Or did you get sidetracked by being
there's
fuck
also
selling?
There's also a whole like kind of noir comic series written by Dana Jose Older about them trying to investigate what happened to Loden. And again, we'll read that after we read the comics. There's not really a good way to do it. After we read the book. There's not really a good way to do it except like stopping in the middle, which is like weird.
Okay.
So yeah. That's a thing too. Yoda's missing. Yoda's been missing. It's a whole thing.
Oh yeah. I do remember that from one of the last books.
Man, fuck Yoda. Don't come back. We could have avoided all so much drama if that stupid motherfucker.
One little green war crime.
I know. God damn it.
I'll take Yoda over Stellan Geos any day.
Ooh, hot take. All right. Well,
y'all think I'm joking about this Stellan Geos hate, but I'm honestly really not. He is the worst.
Chris, if it's any consolation, quite literally, like it's felt nothing but sincere. Like I can feel it.
Oh my fucking
See,
God.
You know what we've really been robbed of? If the Acolyte had not been canceled, right? We could have had an alternate reality, a real reality, where we had more High Republic, you know, media, mm-hmm. and the general public could have learned to hate Stellan Geos.
Right?
I know.
I mean, they would. Wagon thing.
Yeah, no, and they would have, because they were setting up Vern to be absolutely fucking terrible in season two, so. Awesome.
Gosh, I wonder who her master was.
It was Stellan.
We could have had a flashback in season two of The Acolyte. Don't even need another show. Like,
oh my god.
It's fine.
Fucking that guy. All right.
High Republic's getting tons of love in the Star Wars Unlimited trading card game, though. Tons of love.
Love that.
We do love that.
Well, all right. So that's happening, as Chris said. meanwhile, you know, while they're going in at supposedly trying to hunt down the last of the Nile, what's actually happening is that Mark and Roe is rubbing his hands together evilly and, you know, putting grand plans into action. So, basically, we've come to like this like really interesting crossroads here at the end of phase one, where like basically all the characters that we've been introduced to finally are all in one place, some to cause havoc in different ways, whether intentional or not, and you know, some are just like happen to be at Starlight Beacon. But yeah, we're centered on Starlight Beacon. The Nile have been attacking random planets to create a distraction while Mark Yonro has people sneak the levelers onto the space station. And if you forgot what the levelers are, Chris was just talking about Loden being turned into a pile of dust. That is what they do. They basically, they eat the force? I don't know.
I mean, I don't think we've gotten there.
Okay.
Yet. But I wouldn't say that's an inaccurate description.
Okay, or whatever. They feast on the souls of the Force-sensitive, so that's cool, normal.
This is also low-key the first time that we know that there's more than one as well.
Okay.
Because in The Rising Storm, I think it was, when that happens to Loden, we see like Marky and Ro go to like acquire said leveler. And it's very much like the leveler. It's like a like a one of one type thing. But now,
surprise!
Did it say how many there are on the ship? I know it said there were multiple.
No, but I.
It did explicitly say there were multiple.
Yeah. Okay. It did not say how many exactly. Yeah. I don't think no.
So, that is also like kind of terrifying in its own right.
Right.
That there is more than one creature that can do this, and also like just turn Loden to dust. It also like profoundly disabled every single force user within like a I don't know, a solid quarter mile radius.
So that's normal.
It like made Elzar crash his ship. It made Bell hallucinate. Like it's a whole, it's not good.
Wait, do can these things make babies?
Because that sounds... that's a question that I don't think we have the information to answer. I'm being very cagey because I'm very far ahead on High Republic.
It's true.
So I'm trying not to volunteer that much information until I like think through whether or not it's time for us to have it yet.
Okay, well, that's cool and normal. But yeah, lots of innocent people at Starlight Beacon. Also, bad dogs in the cargo hold that eat the force or whatever the fuck they fucking do. I did love though that they were like, well, we'll just put Rathars on the manifest and no one's gonna check the ship.
I mean, it wasn't wrong.
I know,
which it did work for them.
It's so stupid though. I don't want to touch those. Oh my god. All right, so let's dive into characters. So we, like I said, bringing together many of these people. Oh my god. Sorry, I was just like checking the outline. It's Stellan's first, which is fine, except like there's been a proliferation of just like insults underneath his name added to the outline, which is like factual.
I wonder who added those.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Is there anything else we want to say about him at this juncture? Robert? I think we're only like a third through the book, but
yeah, I mean, he's
oh god,
just...
yeah. Chris is like, I always have like
whack
shit to talk about Stellan Yeggo.
First and foremost, like Elzar really skates over the fact that like Stellan ends the Rising Storm by being like, I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to take all the time that you need to be there with you as you work through this kind of temptation to the dark side that you're going through right now, and then he's ... He's just not. He just fucking nopes out of it and is like, I have more important things to do than help my friend. Those important things are basically like almost single-handedly turning the Jedi into the galactic cops that we kind of know and love from the prequel era.
And showing up on the holonet with his face, with his whole face all over the holonet, with just him, himself.
Yeah, like he is like cultivating his own cult of personality around him. Around himself, rather. And like, he is way too excited to be this chief cop. He is walking around Starlight Beacon, like, really just like continually patting himself on the back for running a tight ship, which, like, also, like, for Stellan as a friend, you're not the Marshal of Starlight Beacon. Your friend is the Marshal of Starlight Beacon, and you might be a little too comfortable in her chair.
Also, just insulting her in her absence.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Like,
also
talking about how, like, she's doing a shit job. And, like, he is...
Sending her boyfriend away.
Sending her boyfriend away. And, like, you know, he really does seem to be losing all sight of what it means to be a Jedi in the traditional sense. And going whole hog into what it means to be a Jedi in his new, like, much more... militarized I'm trying to think of the word, but basically like them taking on a much larger galactic responsibility. And the problem with that is that he is volunteering every single Jedi to be put into a position where they're responsible for everyone else, not where they're like responsible for following the will of the Force and just doing what they can. Because that's a very different mandate. Like, obviously, you hope that the result of both of those is going to be that you do good things, people don't get hurt, you generally have positive contributions to society. But when you volunteer to take on all of that responsibility, you put yourself into a position where there is no room for failure, because you make success in a black and white sense the criteria.
It's crazy why he doesn't like Orla.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and I will talk about Orla, but like, he is basically putting everybody in this position to fail because he is making these rigid standards of success, because they're administrating, they are taking care of the refugees, they are being security force and cops out in the galaxy, and there's really not enough of them for them to be doing that. And so what that leads to is that everybody on Starlight, all the Jedi, are exhausted. They're all stressed out. And every single one of them can tell that something is wrong, but they don't actually have the presence of mind to do what they are supposed to do as Jedi and listen to what the Force is telling them. And by the time they're starting to now, we can already see that it's too late.
Right. Like, it is a really great metaphor for how the Jedi aren't actually, like, it's just like, how much are you following the will of the Force? Or are you just, like, dicking around? And it's the dicking around. It's that's all they're doing. It's good. It's great. I love to ignore the monsters in the literal closet. Yeah, go on.
His unchecked ego is just, like, possibly bigger than multiple stars in their galaxy at this point. Like, it's really, really crazy. It's like, he is saying things where he says, essentially, I'm paraphrasing, but not by very much, like, oh, I've become the poster boy of the Jedi. And, like, it's cool. They all make fun of me for it. It's what needs to happen. This picture of him, right, like, in the moment of taking, oh, shit, what's her name? Who the hell?
Chancellor So.
Yes, thank you. Of taking Chancellor So, who I always think of her pets from, like, whatever book we read ages ago. Should. That's like, I'm like, oh, yeah, she's like, wow, I must use that word again. You know, it's the kids say a cunty bob. She has, like, the little bob haircut, and then she has the, the whatever the hell Star Wars space creatures are. But
Devin, like, she has two pet lions, just for your back.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, basically Star Wars lions.
Yes. They're space lions.
But he just, go ahead.
Can we clarify how a Star Wars and or space lion is different from a, like, a lion? Like, is it like Avatar rules?
Mostly that one is red.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Don't they have, like, electricity or fire or something?
That sounds right.
Or is that a different thing?
I think they are electrical.
I'm like, is that a different animal at some point? No, I'm going to look up her pets.
Lion-shaped. Like,
I'm sure it's on Wikipedia.
Gotcha.
They're called Targons.
Ooh, thank you.
All right, I'm going to do some Googling. Please continue.
But just to say that, like, the way he thinks about himself is so, it's infuriating to read. It is very, like, peak cishet man. Like, it's kind of what happens when you, like, actually try to speak to a man in public and you're like, oh, why did I do this?
Oh my God,
it's unfortunate. But just hearing him, like, and then thinking about all the things that we see in other Star Wars media or even from other characters about, it's about the Force, it's not about us, it's this, it's that, we cannot control, like, the will of the Force is its own entity, all of that. And then Stellan Geos is like, I'm so fucking important, man.
I'm so cool. Yeah. No, you're not.
That's all I gotta say about Stellan.
Yeah. And like to be fair, I'm not, like, criticizing the writing when I say he is the worst character. It's not like
right.
No, he's characterized great, therefore I hate him.
I'm trying to think who, like, an actually bad character is. I don't know, maybe fucking, like, Mary from Rise of Skywalker. Mary as in Mary the Hobbit. In Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, Mary. Oh, I, like, thought you has, were doing a no whole purpose. Like, fucking, like, YouTuber Mary Sue complaint. No, and I was like, just get
I heard
off
myself
the pod,
say it,
done.
And I was like, I need to clarify this.
I was like, what fandom are we? What are you saying to me? I got there.
Dominic Monaghan's character
thank you.
In Rise of Skywalker, who serves no purpose. Somehow. That's an actually badly written character. Stellan is a good, well-written character who, like, I feel like he's probably a little bit of a Rorschach test as well for the reader of, like, how do you want the Jedi to be in your idealized Star Wars? And, like, do you want them to be the more, like, monastic, free-spirited, free-roaming, just kind of, like, vibes-based motherfuckers? Of, like, kind of George Lucas's, like, Buddhist views? Or do you want them to be the more rigid, like, cops who, like, just fiddle while the Republic burns in the prequels? And I think they're both valid. Like, it I think part of it depends on your world views in general. But, like, he's doing exactly what he is supposed to do in the narrative. But my God, I hate him so much.
I mean, you have told me that he's at, like, you know, back when Twitter was actually Twitter. Didn't he have, like, a...
There was a Geos Hive, for
yeah.
sure.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. I hate it here.
It was largely youths.
Of course it was. Of course it was.
Do you think... What's the... Is it a full circle, or do we have an actual Venn diagram of people who were standing for Stellan Geos and people who became Andrew Tate followers? What's like the manosphere people?
That's,
like,
what that's a circle.
Think? What's the, yeah.
I think it's mostly a circle. Yeah. I think there's some people out on the periphery because, like, you know, like, listen, like, a lot of us, and by us, I'll refer to, like, myself and just largely a generation of, like, straight white men who, like, were raised, like, liberal but didn't really, like, know what that meant in a larger sense. Like, order sounds really great. And Stellan Geos is, like, kind of, like, the one of the first, like, proponents of the Jedi should enforce order, not the will of the Force. And, like...
This sounds suspiciously like the bad guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that sounds great until you wake up one day and you're in a dictatorship.
Can't relate.
I was about to say.
I was also about to say. I unmuted to say I was about to say.
All right. Listen, I realize that Stellan is a horrible person, like, in a very broad sense of, like, he's very influential in this story, and he holds a lot of power in the Jedi Order itself, and therefore in the galaxy and whatever. And also, I want to strangle Elzar with my bare fucking hands. He is such a fucking simp, and I want him to die. I really was just like, Orlis is there making him do handstands, like, in the ocean, and I'm like, I hope you drown. I hope you fucking die. Like,
drown in 3 inches of water.
Yes, yeah, that's
fucking so Elzar long. Harley Jarvis out here.
Yo,
he's so fucking annoying. It's like, oh my god, I'm just like, please stop trying to sleep with everything that moves, please.
Right.
Like, please get over your, like, weird fucking, like, whatever you've got going on with Eivor, and just stop using other people's bodies as a stand-in. Like, it's really fucked up. He's so annoying. Yeah, I just, you know, like, and, you know, he knows he's fucked up to a point, and then he just starts making excuses for himself, and I'm just like, I don't know. He gives off, like, he almost gives off, like, you know, like, nice guy vibes, you know what I mean? It's very annoying.
I think that's a great point. Ronnie, you were about to say something as well, I think.
Well, I just, when he says, there's this one line, I wish I had written it down again. Clearly, I should start doing this. Where he's talking about Orla, and then he says something about, like, how she is one of the few people who is not, like, flirting back with him and not receptive to his flirting, and therefore he can respect her. And I was just like, oh no, like, you don't even care that you just had this thought. It was horrifying. I will say, and we talked about this in whatever book we first met, Elzar and Eivor and all these people. Eivor, is that her name? I'm like, yes. What the hell? Okay, great. Their names are similar enough that I'm like, I don't know. Sounds vaguely biblical.
I feel like that's probably by design.
Probably, yeah. They're like, their couple's name, if they weren't Jedi, would still be Elzar.
Ew, you're right.
It's fine.
Gross. Go on.
Avzar?
Don't.
Yeah, don't love that.
Talk.
But anyway, I vaguely remember thinking this years ago when we read whatever the first introduction to them was, but we get explicit confirmation in his first chapter that Jedi fuck, and that, like, the Jedi Order's like, whatever, they're young, they're adolescent, they'll get it out of their systems, we'll just send them across the galaxy so they don't see each other for a few years after. It'll be okay. And I was just like, wow, this is both far more progressive than American sex ed could ever be. Though it's not clear teaching them what's happening. I guess it'd be complicated with that many species. But the clear confirmation of, like, it's fine. This is normal. Maybe it's an, you know, unreliable narrator situation. Maybe Elzar is biased. But also, it was fascinating to me to be like, oh, they have a practice in place for, like, what to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
I definitely think that all, like, you know, the point of view characters are meant to be biased here. Like,
yeah, for sure.
What with Stellan puffing himself up, like, the fucking asshole he is.
It's really interesting because we actually are going to get some of him and Stellan contrasting on their kind of, like, their rare remembrances of all of the three of theirs relationship.
Oh God.
In a really interesting way.
But, oh no.
Kate, I think you really, like, said it well, that he, like, has, like, a lot of, like, the worst qualities of, like, nice guys. He, mm-hmm. like, honestly, you know, and I don't hate Elzar as much as I used to now that I'm into phase 3 of the High Republic books. But he really Good does have you. A lot of the worst qualities of, like, nice guys and fuckboys.
Yeah, it's very strange, and I think that's why I hate him so much, is because this is a horrible hybrid that I just, like, cannot get on board with. again, very well written. These people absolutely exist. I absolutely met them in college. And also,
I like mean, that, it's
Insecure quote.
Mm-hmm. No.
About yes. Lawrence, you think you're a nice guy, but you're a fuckboy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a really interesting kind of trio that they form, because, like, on the one hand, we have Eivor, who is perfect, respected, and we don't really get to go deeper with her, and like we're only ever surface level with her, and
because she's only surface level with herself.
Exactly.
Thank
and
you.
On another side, we have Stellan, who is stern and by the book and like actually doing a lot of really bad things. And then we have Elzar, who is like the fuck up of the group, which we kind of knew when we like met him in Light of the Jedi, because he was not a master at that point, because they wouldn't make him one.
And he still isn't.
No, they did finally make him master.
Oh no, why? All right, go on.
I think they did at end of Light of the Jedi.
Don't graduate this dum-dum.
But like, he is also the only one of them with room for growth in his trajectory. And so that, I think, is a really interesting framing for him.
I don't want to interrupt you, but also I would just like, I guess my question there is how you're defining growth.
Thank
because
you.
I would say they could all grow a lot, but maybe not in terms of like the ideal Jedi on the outside, but then they're all kind of fucked up in terms of their introspection.
That's very fair. I guess I would say about Elzar that he is the only one with like obvious growth trajectory, and like he's like set up to be the fuck up one, whereas the other two, like obviously, like Stellan, we're gonna see a lot of here, we're gonna see a lot of Eivor when we kind of get to the comics, and then later in phase three of the High Republic books we'll get a lot more about her, but like they really have to be straight broken down like to understand what is wrong with them, basically.
So what you're saying is that on a surface level, like Elzar has room to like grow in his understanding of like what his role is and like what the fuck he does, and Sel and Eivor think they have it figured out.
Yes.
Okay.
That's fair. That is one of the few things I remember about the earlier book was just that, I don't know, maybe this is a personal problem. It probably is. This is probably a conversation for therapy and not the pod. But I just found Eivor very annoying. I find all of them very annoying, actually. But like, anytime you have a character who is just like, I follow every rule and I am good, I do the things I should do, and I am not bothered by anything. I don't know. Clearly I'm tired because my brain's not working and that was weird. But like, I just often am irritated by that. So I'm excited to dive deeper into who she is and what makes her complex versus mm-hmm. like, I'm here, my outfit is perfect, and I saved everyone. Oh, I made a minor mistake. Boo-hoo, I fixed it. You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, with our fancy tiara.
Yes.
I think also I hadn't really thought too hard about how old the three are until there's like a offhand mention that Orla is a few years older than Elzar. And so Orla's what, mid to late 30s, I feel like? So how
I have them all in the kind of like decade between 35 and 45.
Okay.
Huh. I was thinking early 30s, late, even like, yeah, because I was thinking like maybe like 33 to 35. What about my
okay.
guess?
Yeah. Maybe yeah. Orla's closer to like 40.
Yeah. Okay. I was just wondering because like, I don't know, Elzar's still like 23 and trying to like go out to yeah. frat bars and pick up chicks and shit.
I was literally just, the image in my head was Elzar trying to talk to a 19-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look at Devin's face.
Not Elzar out here checking IDs.
Oh,
right. Gee. No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't. He'd be like, oh, the Force tells me it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Chris, don't say that. That's okay, that's all I have to contribute. Bye.
God. All right. Can we talk about Orla so I can not be talking about these stupid, stupid men? Thank you.
Love Orla.
I was very delighted to see that she's back, first of all. And also, like, bless her, because she has no filter, and like, if Stellan was going to be a bad friend and ship him off to be, you know, trained by somebody else, thank God it's her, because she's, like, the way she called him stupid straight to his face, I was like, I missed you. I love the book you were in. I really miss her.
I love when she says some line also to Stellan of like, I find being flattering is not efficient, or like it's more effective to be direct or some shit like that. And I was like, okay.
I know. Right. Oh my God. She called him the fuck out. And she did like, and she did, it's not like she did it in a mean way. She could have done that in front of all his underlings or whatever the goddamn hell. But like, she called him the fuck out. And he was just like, I'm just going to pretend you didn't fucking say that. And I'm like, maybe you should look at yourself in a fucking mirror. Jesus Christ. So irritating. Oh, I did forget the sidebar about Elzar having sent Stellan the most annoying droid in the universe as a prank. That was funny.
That was great.
And it says a lot about their friendship. That was actually funny. But anyway, bless Orla. I'm glad she's back. She's also, I feel like, the only one. She was like, as soon as she got to Starlight Beacon, she was just like, something's fucked here and I can't figure it out. And she's the one who like initially is just like, I'm going to go to the cargo hold because it feels funky over there, before she gets called away by fucking Stellan, of course. But like, she's the only one who's just like, oh, her and Belle, I should say. The other ones are like, maybe we should check this out. And everybody's like, we don't have time. And I'm like, if you can't feel the force and that's your whole job, maybe you should check it the fuck out. But like, whatever. That's just me, I guess.
Yeah, and I really love how she is, like, she and Elzar both, like, talk a lot about how, like, Stellan hates Wayseekers. And for those who don't remember the second book, Into the Dark, maybe, the last one Claudia Gray did.
Yes.
Basically, Wayseekers are, like, Jedi who, like, go out on their, like, vibes journey. And, like, kind of leave the Order, but not the tenets of the Jedi behind, and just kind of do their own thing. And Stellan hates them.
He hates Grey Jedi.
And, yeah, he hates Grey Jedi. That's the one thing he and I have in common.
Fuck off.
Don't start. Please.
But it's interesting because, like, there's a really great line where basically Orla says, like, Stellan says something about like doing what he needs, what is his responsibility to do for the Force and for the Jedi Order. And Orla's like, I do the same. I just don't view those two things as the same thing. And that is like inherently the problem with Stellan, is that he considers authority and rigidity part of the Force, where really Orla, at least in my opinion, again, this, your mileage may vary depending on who is, you know, talking about this, what their life experience is, who's writing it, whatever. But like, the Force is the Force. The Force does not give a shit about the Jedi in and of themselves.
I mean, clearly.
Yeah. If it did, it's doing a bad job.
But yeah, no. I'm excited she's back. I'm looking forward to seeing her in the rest of this book. So hooray for that. Characters we love from Into the Dark are also back. Geode. Our man.
Geode.
Somebody on Etsy was selling stickers that just say Geode fucks, and they're out of stock, and I desperately need them to restock.
I'd put that on a t-shirt too, honestly.
Right?
Yeah, this is incredible. I feel like we need a list, like how we have titles. We need a list of like pod gear to eventually order if anyone somehow has extra money one day.
Yes.
Slash if we're ever all together in person in one place, which has never, well, it happened all for you all, for the original crew. You all were together many times.
That's true.
But not as many as you would think, yeah, but yes.
But yes.
I mean, y'all spent like 4 years together.
That's the thing. We didn't actually hang out with kids in college.
We were not actually friends in undergrad.
It's a whole thing.
But yeah, no. I really enjoy, number one, what you mentioned earlier, Elzar being like, oh, an ancient relic, look at this. And then Orla's just like, yeah, that's my bro. And he's just like, you what? It's a rock. And she's like, anyway.
Listen, the slander that Geode gets in some of the later chapters.
No.
It's undeserved.
It's pretty fucked up. I also really love that Leox has that rivalry with the fucking guy, that ginger who sucks. And I like how they're like, yeah, Geode's really the only one who can deal with that guy without getting real mad. And it's so good because he just stands there and is rock. The image of him standing at the top of the ramp and like rockily glaring at this fucking asshole.
I just think of Pokemon of like, it's very effective.
Right. Yes. Yes. Oh my God. Bless that. I love Geode.
Geode is the hero we all deserve.
Also, this is the first time, I mean, obviously we know spice exists in Star Wars, but this is the first time I've seen a stoner in Star Wars of the mention of, like, the smell of spice wafting out of, which, like, I thought spice was, like, closer to heroin, so I was a little confused.
Microdoses, it's fine.
Right, it's fine. But that was very funny to me. Yes. And I don't know if I should remember Afi Hollow. I don't remember Afi Hollow if I should, but I'm excited to learn more about her. She seems fun and interesting and also a little confusing. So
yeah, no, she's great. If you didn't, I know you were running around traveling all over the place last year, but Into the Dark is good shit.
I remember you all talking about it. I remember the group chat.
Yeah, it's good shit.
Yeah, she's like one of the main characters in
that. She's great. She's a badass.
But yeah, no, they're all great. Like, they have a phenomenal dynamic because you have like Afi, who's the responsible one, Leox, who is like very much the space stoner, like that. Like, I think Claudia Gray's like literal like fan inspiration for him is like, all right, Matthew McConaughey.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I thought you were gonna say.
He reminds me of a friendlier version of what is that? That fucking dude from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh yeah, I know who you're talking about, the really annoying one. Zaphod? Who you're just like, yeah,
yeah, except the, like
musician, yeah,
except not terrible. Yeah,
yeah.
Anyway, but that's great. I love Claudia.
And then you have Geode, who just is there. He's just there.
He's a teleporting rock who fucks.
Like, he's not a rock with a face, he's not a rock with arms, he's a rock.
He is just a rock
with possible interdimensional powers, unclear.
It's fine.
I'm curious, like, so Afi and Leox can hear him, like they can speak to him, they understand what he says.
I don't know.
I don't think they can. I think it's more like, oh, Geode, like, you know.
Okay. For some reason, I thought they were just getting it, and I was like,
no, I think they are getting it. I don't think he talks though. I think like, there's just like subtle shifts in like his like vibe that they can read that like allow them to like be like, oh yes, this is your communication.
Did any of you read Hail Mary? No? Okay, never mind. I just, it's a, you know, there's a rock-like alien creature that communicates through interesting sound, and that's what I imagine for Geode. But doesn't matter if no one's read it. You all are like, what is this?
That sounds fun, though. I'm gonna look it up.
It's a good audiobook. I think the written book would be annoying. It's by the guy who wrote The Martian, so like, take or leave it, you know. But it's fun.
Oh, okay. Yes,
really good audiobook, though.
Yeah, I can see why that would be. So we do have a few characters who are newer that are introduced in this book. One of them being, what are you calling? What, how do you say? Regald.
I keep wanting to call him Reginald.
Yeah, no, me too. That's not his name. Who's basically like the preschool teacher for one of the preschool teachers for the Jedi Order, and he's like, I worked with toddlers. Maybe I should branch out and do other things. And then he winds up being crispified by the bad dog. I knew he was gonna die because obviously, like, he's just so chipper and like, my new job, da da da. I miss the children, but whatever. And then, you know, he goes off into the cargo hold like very, very happily, and then he's nothing anymore.
It's like the law of action movies where as soon as you start saying, "Oh, once this is done, I'm gonna go do whatever,"
it's
over for you. Like, as soon as he said that, I literally was like, "Okay, he's not gonna survive the book." I didn't think he'd die the next chapter, but I was like, "Yeah, no, he's gone."
No, we got not Claudia being like, one third through the book, we're gonna, this wholesome preschool teacher, bye.
Right, it's fine.
You're just gonna die horribly.
I mean, this is Star Wars, like, younglings get killed.
It's true. Yeah. Gonna die horribly, though, painfully, just have everything just sucked out of your person. That's cool.
I think the next thing we want to talk about was the Nile.
Oh, that's okay. You don't have to highlight that. That was just me being pedantic of like... I think because I didn't read Into the Darkness or Into the Dark or whatever the hell it is, I felt like, now that I'm realizing some of these characters are introduced in that, I was like, oh, this makes more sense, because I felt a little bit like it had like what I would call, sorry to mix fandoms, but what I would call A Dance with Dragons sickness of like, Oh my god, there's so many fucking characters. Who are these people? We're changing every two pages. There's a new character. And I'm like, who the fuck is this?
That is.
But if I had read the last few books, then I would understand and I'd say, oh, this is my friend so-and-so.
Yeah, yeah, no. This is like, when I was like, I put in the outline, this is very Avengers Infinity War. Like, I really mean it. Like, this, they just pulled everybody in.
I want to continue that conversation when we finish the book too, because I think that that's an important conversation to have just about the High Republic in general, and this is a great point to have it at after this book.
Yeah, fair enough. The other thing I would say about why you need to read why you might want to read Into the Dark is because that is the book in which they wake up the Grengir meat-eating trees. So, tree people.
So, Rana, did you read The Rising Storm?
I feel like I did. I think that was the last thing that I read, I want to say.
It was one of the adult
novels. Honestly just wondering like how familiar Rana is even with the Drengar or Drengir, because
the name is like the word is familiar. I feel like I have read something about them. No, the comics. Didn't we read comics with them?
Yes, they were in the comics.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I know them from.
Okay. Cool.
Sorry, I didn't record. I think I recorded maybe one episode last year, but I read whatever the first book of these High Republic, like this trilogy was, where we meet, where like we learn about all the shit. And then, but what's her name? The old lady is, like, whatever book she's, like, dying at in the last chapter of, that was the last book that I read.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's Out of the Shadows, I think.
Oh, yes. Got it. Yes.
But then I did, and I read the comics, whatever ones, and that's when the meat-eating trees that I think say meat, show up, like, for me, but I don't know, for other people, y'all actually read, so.
Yes. Meat? No, yeah, no, you're caught up on them. I just wanted to make sure.
Well, and to be fair, I'm not going to pretend. Maybe Into the Dark, because that's an audiobook, right?
Or not? No, it's YA.
It's YA.
Okay, never mind. I was like, maybe I'll listen to it during work travel, but the chances of me actually reading some of these books we didn't read are quite low. You never know. I could do it, but I'm not going to promise it.
I mean, nothing stops you from... I mean, the audiobook exists, so...
That's true. Yeah. All right, Kate. Kate said, bitch, you better. You're on a fucking reading podcast. Get it.
Yeah, now you said it on the pod. Now all of our zero listeners are going to hold you accountable.
Oh my god. okay. So next one we have on here kind of is about the Jedi ignoring the leveler. My question for these dumb motherfuckers is like, so the first time we encounter the leveler, like as we said, Bell's there. I think Indira's there, right? Elzar's there. And this doesn't feel familiar to them at all.
Yeah.
Plot hole. I mean, probably not plot hole. Probably just, you know, Stellan just being like, you have to do lackey shit and be tired instead of paying attention to this fucking thing. But like, that did bother me like a lot.
No, that's I mean, a really good point. I mean, I think I agree with you, but I do think that that's indicative of the position that they've been put in where they can't make their primary responsibility to be to listen to the Force. Like they have so many other responsibilities.
That's not their job. Yeah. Listening to the Force.
I mean, basically, like, so I do think that's an excellent point though, that like they had every reason to understand, to at least guess at what was going on. Also the fact that like, you know, they do have like this one Jedi investigating what happened to Loden, but like, I don't know, man. If a Jedi Master gets turned into dust, I feel like you might want to put more than one guy on that.
He didn't just get turned into dust. He got crispified, bro. It was really gross. Like, I think about that, like, more than I probably should for it being a piece of fiction. It's gross. It's gross.
It's not good.
It's real gross.
So, like, it is, like, they should have known. They absolutely should have. And they, like... Again, they don't know what the leveler is. They've only experienced it the once, and it's like the kind of thing where you don't get to see it because it fucks with you. So like they don't know what it is, but like they can know, hey, this feels bad. And like this feels like dread that I am usually much better at being able to filter out because I'm a Jedi and that's kind of my thing. And they just can't.
Yep.
Stellan.
All right, I think.
Oh, sorry. The only other thing I'll say.
What, Chris?
Is, and this is as much as I would love for it to be. It's not entirely Stellan's fault. But like,
is it Elzar's fault?
I'd say it's almost more Eivor's fault.
Fuck.
but this is like the third time in a year that they have just completely underestimated the Nile, and been like, they're just unorganized pirates. They're not going to do anything. They don't have the power to do anything.
The superiority complex.
Dead anyway. Yeah, exactly.
It hurts me.
Like, I kept wondering, like, at what point do people lose faith in the Jedi? Because the shit keeps happening very publicly.
What an excellent question that you're about to ask, or that you just asked, Rana. I hope we get an answer to it soon.
Oh my gosh.
Read more. But no, I mean, exactly. And like, we saw it in the battle where they like took down the first Tempest's group. But like all the Jedi got killed because they were like, oh, they're just pirates. They can't fly. And then they just ended up fucking dive bombing them and like 50 Jedi died.
Yeah, that was Panatus.
No, it was the other one.
Okay. Oh, that guy.
Kassav.
Oh, I forgot about that guy because he sucked so bad at his fucking job. All
yeah,
right, go
he
on.
Was dumb. and then after that, they were like, oh, we have the Nile on the run, despite the fact that like my job here is done. You didn't do anything. Like they did nothing, and then they were shocked that the Nile like came and absolutely massacred everybody at the Republic Fair, and now they're like, we have them on the run again. Y'all don't even know who the leader of the Nile is. They have no conception of Marky and Rose's existence right now. Like, they know Lorna D because Lorna D's been more public, and they like captured her for a hot second, and now they're trying to go after her again because she's kind of the most aggressive of the remaining Nile leaders, I would say. But like, they think that she is the Eye and she's not, and they have no idea about that. And that is, again, I think speaks to kind of the arrogance that we're seeing in the Jedi. And like, part of that is taking on this galactic responsibility, but also part of it is just like, again, y'all are not paying enough attention to what the world, what the universe is trying to tell you, what the Force is trying to tell you. And I think it's very indicative of like the prequels, where like,
I was gonna say, where have we seen this before?
Yeah, like,
right, exactly.
Is the Sith Lord in the room with you right now? But yeah, so like, I do like that kind of bit of foreshadowing slash frustration at the inevitability of the Jedi's failure. Yay.
Yep. All right, I think, Rana, you put a note in here.
Oh, I know. I need to shut the fuck up. It's just,
I mean,
like,
I think that's a fair thing to point out. Why not?
Immediately after reading Justina Ireland, it is some of, I'm trying to think of how to phrase this carefully, because I don't want to be rude. Like, Claudia Gray is phenomenal, and it certainly stands
and she's
out.
A white woman.
Yeah, that's, like the way that,
and I think she would agree with that.
Skin tone is explained in this book. Probably, like, I would have just like, it would have gone over my head, or I might not have cared. But immediately after reading Justina Ireland, seeing people like, also in this, it feels more like the default skin tone is white, where like they don't describe the skin tone of certain characters. Whereas in Justina Ireland's, like, they specifically note, oh, this person is pale, this person is like lighter, this person is darker. And I just found myself like, what, I think maybe the third or fourth time that it happened, I was like, like, it's not a big deal. But I miss Justina Ireland a little bit with that.
No, I think that's I think that's an important thing to flag, especially because she, you know, she was asked to initiate this project alongside other writers of color. And yeah, like, she's not the only one who created characters. And I think she, you know, I think it, when you're working on a collaborative project, you should be careful with other people's creations, even more so than your own. And so, yeah, I think that's an entirely fair thing to point out for sure.
Yeah, I think that's also something that we saw a lot of just in writing and fiction writing in general, and like kind of the like late 2010s, early 2020s,
oh, for sure.
When everybody was trying to be much more race conscious. But the only way white people knew how to do it was to be like, this person and their skin tone. Like, do you guys remember that god awful Delilah Dawson book where like the only like the way that you were supposed to identify that the main character was black was that she had a lot of wigs? It was really bad.
That was the worst thing I have
really
ever read.
Bad. And like, listen, Claudia Gray's not that, but no, I think it's a very valid thing to note that, like, I think to this day, like, white people still don't really know how to write characters of color as characters of color.
It's like,
this is true. This is correct.
Yes. It's like, you know what? Have we made progress from comparing people's skin tones to food? And
I was
also
just
we
thinking
have
about that.
Seriously though. But and also we can always be doing better. Yeah. And like myself included as a writer. So I think that's a super fair thing to point out.
Yeah. And, you know, credit where it's due for the collection of people that like were brought into start the High Republic and continue it. Zoraida Cordova, friend of the show, is going to be added in phase two of the High Republic books.
Yes.
And like, it helps to have creatives behind the scenes and like right up both behind the scenes and right up front that understand these things and can like both write for themselves and help other people write. And like, it matters. Like, it matters for quality of book and quality of characters. And so I think that's like, you know, there's always further to go and there's always improvement for every author, but in this context, largely white authors. But it is, you know, 10 years ago, we would have been like, this wouldn't have been notable because every single Star Wars author would have done it.
Hmm. Yeah.
So like, it is just, it's nice to see is all.
And again, 10 years ago, I've been like, well, thank God they didn't call this person a pudding or whatever the fuck stupid ass shit. I don't even know.
Her how chocolate many references pudding to skin.
Coffee? Fuck me. Yes. Always coffee. Fuck always me.
Coffee.
Jesus Christ.
Never forget. Never mind. I'm not going to go into that whole tangent. But thinking of fellow very pale natives and their problematic ass takes on Twitter 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're remembering that graphic, but I remember that. Graphic.
I do remember that.
One praise for Claudia Gray I had in our outline as well was she's such a fucking nerd. Like, she is such a fucking nerd. Some of the little, like, I don't know, I want to call them appositives, but maybe it's not a positive. I don't remember what how grammar works and what grammatical terms are. But, like, the random parenthetical, like, mentions of, like, well, if you like animals, you must be better with the Force. Like,
yes.
Because how could you, like, all these little things like that. Yes. And then we get a lesson in collective nouns.
Was also, because it's me, a highlight. Absolutely.
It was phenomenal. I was like, maybe you all knew this because y'all are smarter and have these like encyclopedic memories, but a collective of Jedi is an illumination.
Yeah. I think she made those up specifically for this. I've never seen that before.
It was phenomenal. Yes. Like the thing about, it was just, they were really good.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. A grove of Wookiees. Like,
that's such a great fucking word. Like that's a great fucking collective word.
Right?
I have no basis for any of this, but that's an awesome fucking
I feel like this could be a very fun Instagram post for us to do at some point of like almost like a little Canva like slide of like, did you know these Star Wars collective nouns? Like, I would go back and find that sentence just in order to do that. It was so fun.
I'm picking out the bird leader.
Was there one for I don't know if the again, because I'm not reading with y'all. Is there a collection of Sith? What are they called? Just assholes?
They did not say. Okay. So you can imagine it may well be. We don't know.
That's true. That's the people demand answers.
Claudia, please.
Well, I was going to say someone pack tweet of her, but she's not on Twitter anymore. Is she on Blue Sky? Like, she's got to be somewhere.
I have no idea, honestly. I don't think she's much on social media anymore. Because
can you blame her?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
right,
she was, I think, one of the first like YA authors to like nope the fuck out of social media.
Which that's fair.
It is a shit show.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm so addicted to my phone, and I don't even want to use social media anymore.
I know, right? Same.
It's bad.
And like, you know, like, not to be that guy, but like, having met her, she's a very nice person. Like, I can't imagine being like like deliberately mean to her for no fucking reason. It's just terrible.
Is she the one you scared at a conference, or was that someone else?
No, that was so.
That was E.K. Justin.
No, it was Jess, friend of the pod, co-host of Lousy Beautiful Town, who
wrong agent, Kate. Sorry.
Yeah, how fucking dare you? First the fox. No,
somebody told me this story once.
Yes, so the story is that she was at Star Wars Celebration in Anaheim. Last go round,
yeah, Chicago. But yes,
it was Chicago.
It was.
Oh my gosh,
we've never been in Anaheim.
No, but she told me this. I thought she told me the story because she did go to Celebration in Anaheim.
This was Chicago because I was there for it.
Well, fuck. Anyway, she's like walking down the hallway with a group of people. We weren't there. But she happened to pass Zoraida Cordova in the hallway, so, like, reflexively yelled out, Zoraida. So, of course, like, she stopped and was like, yeah. And Jess is just like, just kind of froze, like, oh shit.
No, so the additional context is I was with Jess at this time, and there was a group of us.
I was at a work conference, goddamn.
Yeah, this was before you arrived. And I was like, oh my god, it's a ride. Like, I was like geeking out because, like, you know, like, you know,
because you're adorable.
Like, who the fuck cares? But like, I was geeking out, and I was like, oh my god, it's the ride of Cordova. That's so cool. Like, oh my god, a celebrity. And like, from that, Jess was immediately like, let's say hi, Zoraida.
Sounds like Jess. Now I'm realizing the reason that I thought that this was related to our podcast is because when Zoraida came on to the podcast that time, which like I still can't believe happened. Remember when we used to make media? I think someone mentioned the story to her when we were like testing all of our mics and things. Amazing. And now I'm like, oh, this is why in my head I was like, someone on the podcast did this to some author. Well, sorry to our non-existent listener if you heard this little tangent. Don't know what to say.
Yeah, I feel no like excuse. Sorry to our non-existent listeners, a great place to wrap it up.
Really be the name of the pod.
Oh, right, really.
It's true. Anyway, thank you all for listening to episode 180 of the Book Wars Pod. Our next episode, we're going to be continuing with The Fallen Star by Claudia Gray, reading the second third of the book, chapters 12 through 22. If you have the means, first and foremost, donate to Stop Ice Raids Alert Network at stopice.net. Then, if you want to light your money on fire, you can always donate to the Tasha Station Radio Patreon. Helps cover our hosting and production costs at patreon.com/TashiStation. $1 gets you into the Tashi Station Slack channel, Slack server, I don't know.
Slack instance. Jesus.
And $2 lets you watch us do streaming. Kate's been running through Last of Us 2.
Again.
I've been doing a little bit of Outlaws. It's good times. You can also give us coffee at ko-fi.com/bookwarspod. Our theme song is Whiz Bang by Poddington Bear. Our logo and artwork are by Joe Butera Design. Our audio and production are done by our very own soon-to-be doctor, Devin Keyes.
Stop saying that.
soon-to-be doctor producer Devin Keyes. Or producer Dr. Devin Keyes.
You know what? Fuck it. Yeah. Yes. I'm going to get there.
Yeah.
I have to.
Producer doctor.
Yes.
From all of us, myself, Kate, Rana, Devin, Burb, Argos, Orca, Flix, Merly, Tony, Blue, Magenta.
Nailing it.
Who am I missing? I think that's it.
That's everybody.
All right. Anyway, I'm Chris. Thanks very much. Talk to you next time.
Yikes.